Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Redmen TV podcast. Stee here with Sam Walker and Dan Clubb. And we are going to be talking about all the fury that's happened after Jürgen Klopp revealed that Liverpool have had false COVID positives and all that kind of stuff as well. And we've also got a little bit of a chat about the Sky Sports report from late last week where it was mentioned that both Nico Williams and Nat Phillips could leave Liverpool potentially at some point in this month. But before we get to that, guys, the first, got a couple of kickoff questions. The first is non-football, and I only need one word for you on both. We're not going to dwell on this one. It's going to be one word, simple answer. M. Cairns from our club legend Discord asks, red sauce or brown sauce on a bacon bap?
Red.
Brown.
Red. 2-1 to the Reds. Hopefully.
Thank you.
Chris, our producer, which is happening for a variety of reasons that we don't need to get into right now, which explains why the show is a bit late. Chris has gone brown as well.
He doesn't count though, he's not sat here.
No, well, it's, yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, Chris was offside. Counts as 2-1 to the Reds. And then the next question, we've got one. Great Twitter handle here, by the way. It's FatPanda72. Asks, who would you rather see lift the AFCON out of our three lads who are there? Sadio Nabi or Mo Salah? I'll come to you first, Sam. Again, while you're having a think, you guys in the live chat, let me know your answers. If you're one of our club legends in the Discord, you can let us know too. But Sam, I'll come to you first.
I think Mane, personally, for personal reasons, I just think last time he fell short to Algeria, didn't he? And I think this might be really sort of wider than Mark, but I've always felt Mane's sort of connection to Senegal was really like emotionally and quite deep in the way he talks. So for that, I'm not saying Mo is a hero in Egypt, but yeah, I've always felt Mane and Senegal are just, there's something extra there. So for me, and also if Salah gets knocked out in the quarters, it might cost us a little bit less money if he wins it. I can see Liverpool scratching their heads. So yeah.
For me, Naby Keita. I agree with all the things you've said on Mane, and I think it actually gave him a massive confidence boost. I think he spoke last week about wanting to win AFCON over, he'd swap all his Liverpool medals and trophies for that. But for me, Keita, for quite a selfish reason, because it might mean that Salah and Mane return a little bit quicker. Yeah, I think the group games finish on the 20th of January, so if we could get him back the next day, that'd be great. So yeah, Keita for me.
Naby's the most disposable of the three
for you.
Might get a bit more dough for him as well.
Yeah, I love him, but yeah, I'd rather he stayed out there for a little bit longer.
Having a little look in the chat then, we've got one of our members, Ashley, who says Salah 100% because I want him to win the Ballon d'Or, and Finn says the same. Yeah. He definitely has a chance of winning the Ballon d'Or if he gets it. I think I'm with you, Dan. With all due respect to the people of Senegal and Egypt, I don't care who wins the AFCON.
No.
And if it means that we get Mo and Sadio back a little bit earlier, and with all, again, Naby Keita, we've got more options, I think, to cover for his loss than we have for the other two. So yeah, I'm gonna go with that one as well.
My country didn't qualify. I'm a descendant from Liberian, and since George Weah has become the president, we've just gone crap.
Could you not get a game?
Do you know what, mate? I'm a bit old now. Two hernias and a bad back, but yeah.
I'd be sent to that. Very excited about this. So yeah, there's again another 2-1. I was on both winning sides as well. Maybe I think if you notice, I took the winning shot in both of them, so I was always going to win. I never left myself vulnerable to losing
not
there.
Daft,
but yeah, no, I played that one well. Perks of being the host. Right then, let's get into the first topic, Sam. And it was the fallout of the COVID situation. The title of this podcast is obviously the false positive fury. So Jürgen Klopp, after the Shrewsbury game, was it? He says, doesn't he? He revealed that he thinks Liverpool had a lot of false positives and that only Trent Alexander-Arnold is actually out with COVID. He tested positive after the Chelsea game, so he's actually in and around where he can probably get out of if he's had the two negative tests and stuff as well. After Jürgen said that, I mean, the fume of social media of every other fan in the world other than Liverpool fans, it was a joy to behold, really. I thought it was absolutely fascinating that the conspiracy theories and that we cheated and we didn't want to play Arsenal, again, sound. It has been like, it's been a mammoth 48 hours of just absolute chaos. What are your general feelings on it?
Do you know what? Like, yeah, one thing I would say is I half believe Klopp because he's just an honest man. People need to learn, whether he talks about, whether it be the football, his transfers, whatever, he's an honest person. He doesn't lie. He just doesn't say anything otherwise. And so I do think there's an element of truth to it all. Does he need to say it? Probably not. It's not a lie if no one asks you the question. So just don't say it. Just, we've been more fortunate than we thought we were. You know, the lads are back, but we didn't play today. Whatever you want to say. But I just think he didn't need to say that. And it obviously raised a storm. But I'll tell you what, mate, I've never seen so many pharmacists, doctors and mathematicians and, you know, astrophysicists turn up on Twitter with the mathematics skills.
I suppose as well, Dan, it's one of these, isn't it? Like, it just feels like, if there's a chance to beat Liverpool with a stick, people will take it. And, you know, in a way, it's a compliment because we're massive. Yes. We are, like, if this happened at 15 other clubs in the Premier League and pretty much every lower league team, there might be a few people looking like, oh, all right, okay, fair enough, that happened. But because it's Liverpool and because of... And I also think, by the way, I think the fact that they were about to face Arsenal, yeah, who are another big club and very, very active on socials and fan media and tons and tons of fans around the world as well, it feels like it's gone out of proportion for no real reason.
Yeah, massively. And obviously we're already under the spotlight for the fact we called the game off last week, because Arsenal fans were already questioning the sincerity behind that and saying you could play the kids, you could play the kitchen staff, you could play the bus driver, etc. So the fact that Klopp has then almost doubled down on that anger by saying, oh, actually, it wasn't as bad as we first thought. It was always going to create a storm, wasn't it? You know what I mean? But you're dead right, because if you look at Leicester, obviously their game last night was called off against Everton. They only had a break, you know, similarly a couple of weeks ago, you know what I mean? So their problems in terms of the club are rife. We ask for one sort of postponement and then this happens and it just causes murder. It just shows how big we are, though.
That's it, isn't it? It's a thing. Like, Leicester, and a lot of days was down to, it says COVID, injuries and AFCON, all three of which Liverpool are dealing with as well. The difference is, like you said, do you think it was a bit naive from Jürgen to say, actually, we've had some false positives? Because if he'd have said, we had positive tests, everyone's out of isolation, including myself, because he had it, and he said he had symptoms, mild symptoms, I think he said, so he actually had COVID. So no one anyway is questioning the fact that there was a COVID outbreak. The fact that he comes back and says, actually, we think there was loads of false positives, he could really, I mean, there's things that you can probably just keep your mouth shut on, and maybe that was one of them.
No, 100%, I do believe that. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because you want to see more of this. You want to see more of people telling the truth. And I think one of the things that would kind of caveat it all is that he has said over the previous weeks, like, why have we got so much sort of cloudiness when it comes to COVID? There's no transparency. So I suppose it's consistent with that, because he's actually said, well, you want to know the truth. I mean, and let's be honest, there has been false positives around. I think we had one with Keita, didn't we, either this September or last year. I can't remember where he thought and then he wasn't. But there's been a few, but I'm not going to lie. If I was sat here telling you I thought that 10 players and a load of staff had false positives all at the same time, you're either looking at a bad batch of tests or something's not quite right.
I'm going to bring this up on the laptop in a second. It was from another sport, but bear that in mind, but it was from rugby, and I don't know if you guys seen this. It was on the BBC, and it was reported on the 21st of January. COVID-19 Premiership Rugby investigates false positive tests, and it was Bath who shut their training ground and all their squad self-isolated after 19 players were thought to have COVID. But an operator for the Premier League rugby testers, Randox Health, saw the number of positive cases incorrectly reported to the league. There were actually two positives in 989 tests across the Premiership this week. It wasn't the 24. And basically, again, there's an instance of 19 false positives. Liverpool, and I'm going to go, there's been an article, I don't know if you guys have seen it, by the way, from Simon Hughes on The Athletic, which again brought up more drama and more, I don't know what the word is, consternation online.
Yeah.
And because it actually said that there's a chance that Liverpool might be under investigation or there's pressure against them. And basically, it's actually titled, you know, EFL are under pressure to investigate Liverpool's postponement after Klopp's admission. And it goes on, you know, the EFL is under pressure to investigate why Liverpool players who tested positive for COVID-19 before the postponement of their Carabao Cup semi-final first leg were subsequently found to have been negative, with the Anfield club facing questions over the scales of their recent outbreak. It goes on for a while, and there's tons in there if you want to go over and read it from our mate Si Hughes. But one of the things that actually gets me was that it says, like, the first round of the positives they got was on LFTs, lateral flows, and identified number of positives. So then they went and got the PCR tests, and they highlighted positive cases as well. And then it's turned out, and then a third round of tests scheduled after the first leg indicated loads of the players were negative. So my thinking is, if you test a positive on a lateral flow and some people have tested positive on a PCR, Sam, and then they've come back negative, like, false positive's fine, but, like, there's a question, like, the lads had COVID and then no longer had COVID. That seems like that could be a thing as well.
So nobody actually knows when we're asymptomatic the real depth of how long you have it. I mean, let's not get too medical here, but, you know, in America, they changed the rules to 5 days isolation. There's a reason for that, because clearly 5 days is enough. You know, I don't know how often they do tests at Liverpool. I assume it's every day, or they might have had a day off before it's stayed, you know what I mean? So for me, it's just nothingness. What did we really gain from that? We haven't got no more players back from injury, and we're not getting any players back from AFCON. So really, Arsenal, shut up and just play us and get your second leg at the Emirates and see if you can beat us. There's absolutely no story here. It's just noise.
That's the thing, isn't it, Dan? I was going to say, like, this is what I've got in my agenda, and it makes sense. Like, Liverpool didn't benefit from this.
No.
And we're going to do a build to Arsenal later where we'll touch on more of these things. But Liverpool lost the advantage of having the second leg at Anfield. Mm-hmm. They now have to play Arsenal 3 days before they play Brentford, before they play Crystal Palace. Brentford was always going to be a thing, but that was going to be the Anfield leg. So we were going to be at home before the Brentford home game. Now we're away at Arsenal before we play. We're at home against Arsenal, then we play Brentford, then we're away to Palace rather, and then we have in between. Let me go with that again. I've messed that up a bit. It's Arsenal on Thursday at home. Brentford, that's home on Sunday. Then there would have been a whole gap, a week's gap, wouldn't it, to the Palace game? Mm-hmm. But now we've got to go to the Emirates before we play Palace away. Like, we're not benefiting from this at all. It's negative for Liverpool. We no longer get a week's rest. We got more rest to play Shrewsbury, which they wouldn't have been asked about. He'd have played the kids. He wasn't asked. It hasn't impacted Liverpool in a positive way at all. It's all negative.
Exactly. And ironically, it's all negative, Yeah. But you're dead right, because a lot of the kickoff on Twitter last week was, Liverpool are going to come out of this smelling of roses, et cetera, et cetera, as if implicating that we might get people back from AFCON and we might get more injuries back. That isn't going to be the case. If anything, if the conspiracy theories were to be true, we'd have done this a few weeks ago when we had players missing for Chelsea and Tottenham before that. We had Tyler Morton, with all due respect to the kid, in the side at Spurs. And that could have been avoided had we have really cried wolf about our COVID test, but we didn't. Instead, you know, we waited essentially until the Shrewsbury week and the Carabao Cup, which two competitions that Klopp is notorious not for really caring about and not even being in the country for a lot of the time. So, timing-wise, if Liverpool were putting this on for a benefit, we've done it horribly wrong, so you'd have to assume that isn't actually the case.
That's the thing, isn't it, Sam? It's one of those where I'm thinking now, like, Jürgen's had, and I don't even know, he had more criticism today, how he spoke to a journalist who spoke to him about it at a press conference, and he said something like, you know, basically shutting down for having stupid questions and all stuff like that. It just feels like, at the moment, there's a stick to beat Liverpool with, and if there's a chance to get it, then people are going to take it.
I think it kind of mirrors the sort of attitude of the league at the moment, in that there's so much chaos going on, we're deflecting away from football. We want to talk about football, don't we? We want to be here talking about the games and what's going on and this player, that player. But it's just chaos. You know, the content now everywhere is all about COVID and how it impacts this and that. And I think that just, like I said, it mirrors and represents what's going on in the league at the moment. The integrity is a bit up in the air. So people are trying to point fingers left, right and centre, when actually, you know what we need is, we need all three bodies to have the same set of rules, and then no one will question anything, because we'd all be running for the same thing. I just, like I said earlier, I think it's just noise. It's just Arsenal fans, really, isn't it? It's Arsenal fans, and the odd Man U fan chipping in, the odd Blue Nose if they've got the bottle, just trying to make noise because they know what's coming.
Yeah, for sure. Right, then we're going to leave that one there. I think we've covered that as well as we can. It was just madness. Like, I wrote, like, Liverpool have got no benefit from this whatsoever. Whatever's happened, but it just feels like, again, it's just anger clicks against Liverpool, get you notoriety, get you, like, again, If there's an investigation, fine, let them investigate. And if it turns out Liverpool did something really dodgy, then fair play, they'll get the book from them. But I can't see what they've done wrong. I actually think this could have been very much avoided if Jürgen just He hasn't done nothing. Trent's got COVID. I had COVID. There was a few others. They're all isolating. Everyone's fine now. And the lads who played the weekend were all either negative or they've only just had COVID and they were back, like Virgil, like Jones.
Yeah,
that's how it could have been avoided. But yeah, that's what that one is. We're gonna move on to our second topic shortly. But before we do that, we're gonna take a quick break. If you guys are looking for a present for someone in your life, or you know you've got a bit of extra money over from Christmas where someone give you a bit of dough, have a little check out of these gift cards we've got. So basically what they are, get you 3 month subscription over to our subscription service, Red Men Plus. So if you want to get one for yourself or for that Liverpool fan in your life, here's how you can go about doing just that.
Hey everyone, you can now give the gift of a Red Men Plus subscription all year round with our 3 month Club Captain tier subscription gift cards available right now on redmenmerch.com. With these, you gain full access to our incredible archive of Liverpool content, pre and post match live streams, and an incredible archive of documentaries, features, and interviews with Liverpool legends, past and present. Understand deeper about Liverpool's culture and a whole lot more as well. And if you've never been able to try it before, you can now. Get over to redmenmerch.com, get yourself a 3 month subscription gift card, get it in the post on this wonderful handy backing card, follow the instructions, scratch off, get your code, input, and then you can enjoy all the wonders that come with a Red Men Plus subscription.
Sorry for interrupting your show, but we have our incredible streaming service, Red Men Plus, and we are so proud of the content that we produce. If you like the stuff that we put out for free, please show your support. Join Red Men Plus and get every single episode that we produce directly into your ears in your native podcast app. Just go over to theredmentv.com, sign up, and enjoy even more Red Men content.
So yeah, guys, if you want to check out Red Men Plus, we've got tons of content there each and every week. You get build up to every game, you get pre-match, post-match content. We have the stat show with Chris, which is one of my favourite shows we do. We have the debate show. Also, you get access to our exclusive back catalogue of documentaries, interviews, features. We've got the likes of Kenny Dalglish, Jurgen Klopp, Steven Gerrard, Trent Alexander-Arnold, tons more. So I say you can head on over to Red Men Plus to check that out. And like I say, if you want to get it as a present for yourself or for somebody else, try one of those gift cards over on redmenmerch.com. Right then, lads, second topic of the day. I'm going to split this into two. It was a Sky Sports article from Vinnie O'Connor. We often see Vinnie on Sky Sports News stood outside Anfield, like that, or outside, it used to be Melwood, now he stands outside Kirby in the freezing cold. Every transfer window, nothing's happening, guys. Nothing's happening. No. He's just there outside. I live very close to Melwood, and sometimes I drive past and you just see him there with his umbrella or his mate, and there's like three of them in a van, and they're all just like, wasting our time.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen. But he spent some of that time by writing an article. And I understand the date of this was last week, but it was last Wednesday. So it was after the last podcast. And it's basically talking about Liverpool's transfer activity, or maybe lack of, or whatever, who knows. And it's talking in particular about two players who could leave. The title is Neco Williams and Nat Phillips could leave Anfield this transfer window. Pretty self-explanatory. I'm going to split it into two. Let's talk Neco first. So Neco's issue apparently is that he's conscious of getting a place in the Wales team, Dan. You know, he's found game time limits at Liverpool this season. He's got his eyes on what's coming ahead for Wales and the big tournaments coming up. There's World Cups, if they can qualify for them. They've got a playoff. They could end up playing Scotland, couldn't they, in a playoff. And he's got his eye on a World Cup. And obviously Trent's ahead of him, and we're seeing the emergence of Conor Bradley and stuff. It was interesting that they said Liverpool could allow him to leave. So they won't be rushed into a deal, and they're sympathetic to Williams' request, but they would only let the Welshman leave if the right offer is made, and it's also too early to see where any potential move away would be a loan or a permanent deal, Dan. So I'm going to start with Neco first.
Yeah.
It seems strange to me that in the COVID era that we live in, and bear in mind our first choice right back is literally out this second with COVID.
Yeah.
He's literally got COVID. That there's even a consideration that he would say to Neco, I understand that, mate, but you know, yeah, you can go. Surely should the answer not be, Neco, mate, soz, but have you seen what's going on around the world? You are going to get game and you're going to be needed.
That's the important thing, in my opinion. If it wasn't for this COVID landscape whereby people are missing left, right and centre all the time, and plus his versatility thrown into that, because we've seen him play on the left previously, especially for Wales, and in more advanced roles. So Liverpool could well tap into that at some point. But obviously the key point is probably the right offer, because Liverpool don't do anything really unless a right offer comes in, because that's our model, the buy to sell, sell to buy rather. Yeah. So this is an interesting one. I have sympathy with him in terms of he's probably a Premier League footballer, but not at Liverpool. is what I'd say. He's a decent understudy to Trent. It probably suggests that Liverpool, or Jurgen Klopp in particular, have got faith in Conor Bradley. I've been impressed with him. I haven't been impressed enough yet to say you're ready for top-level football myself. But I understand the Williams situation. One thing I would say on it, though, is he plays for Wales regular. Anyway, almost being part of this Liverpool squad and playing a bit part role, with all due respect, is enough to get him into that Wales side. So I'm not entirely sure he needs to leave for that reason. The one thing I will say is, like I say, in the summer, in my opinion, we should probably part ways and let him play regular football somewhere else.
He's under contract. I've just checked Sportrock there, going by their data, so apologies if that's wrong, but I'm going to blame them if it's not. Until 2025, there's no rush. For, like, Liverpool don't need to cash in on Nico Williams because, oh, he's out. He's got to go in 6 months. I think Newcastle and Norwich in this situation now with Todd Cantwell in that. Obviously, Newcastle wants Todd Cantwell. Norwich are reluctant to sell him, but he's out of contract in the summer. Yeah. So just sell him and get some money, even though you're strengthening a rival. Now, Liverpool aren't going to... I don't think Liverpool would strengthen a rival by selling Nico Williams, because I can't imagine where he'd go, where he's going to be going to a team who we class as a major rival in any competition, Sam. But it does feel like, yeah, his time, he might not be here for the long term. But do you think it'd be a strange decision to let him go now in January, given, again, the games we've got, all the issues we've got? We're still in the semi. We've got two semi-finals, we've got an FA Cup, we've got the Champions League, we've got the Premier League as well. And really, we've only got Trent, who's at right back other than him, which it would be a bit odd.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of elements to this. I think I don't see him going until the end of January, because I think we've now just got Cardiff on the 5th and 6th of Feb, so we've probably got Conor Bradley there for that anyway, or Trent if he doesn't play the game before or whatever. So I don't think he's necessarily needed beyond the next couple of weeks. We were going to let him go in the summer, weren't we? There was articles in multiple platforms to say that.
Similar to this, really.
I think it's about Liverpool and Tyson. The same with Phillips. Listen, two good players here, both Premier League standard. Do you want them? Come and get them if you do. So I can see activity happening with him later on. You know, get through the Arsenal games, maybe Palace and Brentford, then have a little think there in that little international period. But I also agree with you, Dan. They've got Championship players playing for Wales. Like, why would Nico Williams not play? So I think that's just a headline, really. Yeah, for him, I think, how old is he, 21 maybe? He's probably ready to go and play first team now. And I get it. He's never going to get in this team. And he's not the same even type of player as Trent, is he?
No, he's 20, by the way. He's 20.
Oh, he's 20. But as Trent gets better and better, it makes it harder for the team when Nico comes in, because he's a flying right back.
Yeah.
He's an old school. You know, he's a Tyrick Lamptey more than he is a Trent. You know what I mean? So maybe that makes it harder. Maybe Milner's the second/third choice now.
Well, he goes on in this article, by the way. He says, like, you know, Jamie O'Connor says, you know, James Milner and Joe Gomez are both capable of playing full-back spots, but the decision to allow Williams to leave would be assessed near the deadline. So it goes to that. It's one of those for me. I just think, Dan, it's a risk not worth taking. With all due respect to Nico Williams and his career, he's 20. He's got 15 years left in the pro game. If all goes well, he stays injury-free. Like, if it means that he has to sit on the bench for 6 months, then, like, it's tough shit, lad. Unlucky. Like, we need you here. We can't afford to let our next backup right back option go. Not only for injury cover for Trent, but also rest and rotation. Trent can't play every game, and like Milner can go there. But I always thought, like, Milner being the cover, you're just pulling the covers off to you know what I mean? It's like when you're in bed with your missus, and if she's cold, she pulls the covers onto her. She's sorted, but over here I'm freezing. Yeah. Like, that's what you're doing if you move Milner or Gomez. You're just causing more issues over there. It just seems like it says near the deadline, but I don't know about you, I would be quite surprised if this was something that happened in January.
Yeah, I would be too, for all the reasons we mentioned, really. And you're dead right on Milner and Gomez, because I think Milner in particular, I'm not a huge fan of him at right back, full stop. I think he's done the job there on occasion. He tends to pocket Wilfred Zaha whenever we play against them, because he's always a right back against Palace. But yeah, it just creates further issues down the line, because it means the bench is a little bit weaker potentially, or the midfield's got problems, because we've seen midfield injuries as well, which Milner's had to cover. So yeah, it would be a bizarre one, and I think you're dead right. I think, you know, we could definitely convince Nico Williams to stick around for 6 more months and then grant his wish in the summer.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Unless the money's big, that's the other thing.
Yeah, unless they get blown out the water. But again, who's going to, I don't know, maybe someone would blow the money out the water for Nico Williams. I don't know how people are. Got a chat here from one of our Wonder Kid members over on YouTube, Liam Bento, says, I feel like if Conor Bradley has developed the same way as they did with Trent, then he'll probably jump above Nico in the pecking order sooner than expected. You mentioned Nico and Bradley before, Dan. Yeah. It still feels like he's at the very, very promising stages, young Conor Bradley. And he was very good against Shrewsbury.
He was.
But bear in mind, like, they score one goal and it comes down his side, and he isn't brilliant for it. Like, I don't know about you, but, and we had this conversation on the final words over on Red Men Plus, me, Chris, and Paul. It was like, would you be comfortable throwing Conor Bradley into a game
ahead of Nico Williams right the second the Premier League game. Even Arsenal on Thursday, my sense was no, not yet. He needs bringing along slowly. So it would put a lot of pressure on him if he's automatically second choice right back for Liverpool.
Yeah, hell of a lot. And you're dead right. I wouldn't be comfortable with him starting in pretty much any Premier League game with all due respect to him. I think we are at that stage whereby he needs to be fed in and out of the side. And say, for instance, God forbid, but Trent picked up COVID again in a couple of months' time or picks up a little niggle injury, which he had in the past. He had his calf problem last season. I'd much rather see Nico Williams stepping into the breach. He's done it before, obviously. But again, just to finish on the Nico Williams point for me, he's looking at Trent, a similar age to him, a couple of years older, and thinking, I'm never going to get past that lad. So you can't really blame him for wanting to move on.
That's the thing, isn't it, Sam? Like, I understand it from him. If he's come to Liverpool and said, right, I want to go, and we saw people have done that in the past, and rightly so. Simon Mignolet was happy being at Liverpool until Alisson came along and was like, well, I'm a player no more. And you understand that. I think Neco understands what's ahead of him is a generational football. Like, one of the best footballers we're probably ever going to see at Liverpool. Trent's going to go on and become captain of this footy team, and he's going to be up there with appearances with the best that we've ever had, and he's a local lad as well. I can completely sympathise with why Neco Williams is thinking, for the good of my career, I could have a brilliant Premier League career, anyone from 7th to 8th, 20th or whatever. I can play every week in the Championship. I understand it, and I get where he's coming from. And it's easy to get, isn't it? But on the flip side, Liverpool need to look after themselves as well.
Yeah, and it's opportunity as well. If his agents come to him, because I mean, Liverpool probably haven't received any bids yet, but if his agents come to him and said, let's just pick a club out, Fulham are after you. Fulham are flying high in the Championship, either going to just miss out and maybe go again next year, or they're going to be in the Premier League next year. I imagine they'll be in the Premier League next year. And it's like, but if you don't go to Fulham now, what's your next chance? Because there's probably all the Premier League teams might not want, as a first choice, I mean, so if you're like, I'm just using Fulham or Bournemouth as an example, they're proper teams who are going to be in the Premier League next 2 or 3 years. He can go there and be first choice right back. He might not have that opportunity this summer because other pieces on the board might move. So it's all about these opportunities and what's in front of you now. You've got a clear chance. Do you gamble? Do you do it? And then the club seem to be loyal to players. And also the other question is we asked this question about Kelleher a while ago. If Alisson's away, would we really want to see Kelleher in goal? And we're like, nah, not sure. Now we're like, yeah, we're fine with Kelleher. He does the job. I'm not 100% sure if we've got, say, I don't know, let's pick a relatively difficult game, Arsenal away in the league, whether Klopp's happy to just throw Nico right back. I still think you might see Gomez or Milner there because I just think trustworthy-wise, I'm not sure Nico's as high up in our minds as we think because he plays all the cups. I think still, if he ain't going to get a game, if Trent's injured anyway, we might as well sell him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
I think he'll go. And I think I'm guessing it'll probably be the summer more for Nico than it will for January. We're going to talk about Nat Phillips and his contract situation, and there's been bids for Nat Phillips that Liverpool have already rejected. We're going to talk about all that in a second. But before we do, guys, I want to show you this little clip of our club legend competition. So I mentioned earlier about our subscription service, Red Men Plus. We have 2 tiers of subscription. We have the club captain tier, which gets you access to every single bit of content we've ever done and we're ever going to do over on the platform. If you sign up as a club legend on the club legend tier, you get all that content too, but you get a few added perks as well. You get access to our amazing Discord chat where you can chat with fellow Reds and around the games and all the topics and communicate with us as well. You get free merchandise from our store. You get discount off merchandise as well, and you also get entered every single month into an amazing competition where one of our club legends gets pulled out the hat, or actually it's an electronic wheel. You've clicked the button on the wheel and they win an amazing prize. We've got a bit more information about that prize now, so check this out.
Hey everyone, we've got a fantastic competition prize for you this month, and it is this, an incredibly limited edition signed Jordan Henderson print, framed, beautiful, celebrating his 10 years at Liverpool Football Club. There are 25 of these in the entire world, and we're offering one up if you are a subscriber at Club Legend tier on Red Men Plus. If you go over to theredmentv.com, sign up as a Club Legend, not only do you gain access to our incredible suite of Liverpool streaming content from documentaries, features, interviews, and pre- and post-match content, you are automatically entered into our draw to win this, which we'll be streaming live at the end of the month. So get involved. January's prize is this incredible, unique piece of Liverpool history, and you can have it in your house to hang on your wall if you join as a Club Legend subscriber on Red Men Plus.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, so like I say, if you guys want to go over and check out Redmen Plus, sign up as a club legend, you too could win that amazing signed print by Jordan Henderson. There's only 25 of those in the world exist, and one of them we will be giving away at the end of January to one of our amazing club legends. Right, guys, before we move on to the Nathilus thing, actually, we've just had a super chat in, and I will get the name of the person now. It was from Utkarsh Gupta. I apologise, I've got your name wrong there. Who says, have you checked out the Sky Sports Insta post about Mohamed Salah's contract? I am going to bring that up here. It's basically, he's done an interview with the GQ magazine, and he's basically said, I want to stay, but it's not in my hands, it's in their hands. They know what I want, and I'm not asking for crazy stuff. Obviously, we'll go a bit more into this probably on Wednesday with Neil Jones on Journal Insight Extra on Redmen Plus. But just your initial thoughts, again, the time that this has come out with, basically it's Mo Salah putting everything back in Liverpool's hands. So what are your initial thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I said we were just very, very briefly chatting about Twimmy off camera. My only worry about all this is that we don't know what he's asking for. We don't know what the club are doing. We've got no idea. So we can't even go, oh, you're being cheap or you're asking too much. Let's move away from that. But my only concern is that we seem to be hearing this a lot from Salah and his team, and it might be interviews that he did all at once in December, who knows. But the more and more articles that come out when Salah's saying things like, it's in the club's hands, they know what I want. It's just, I don't like how it's building, and I don't like how it's splitting people, the fans and stuff. Like, we need any more splitting with FSG, and that's my only worry with it, is that whatever happens at the end, if it doesn't go the way we want it to go, it just causes too much chaos because of this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, what are your thoughts, Dan? Because again, it's literally Mo Salah. It was in GQ. We don't know when this magazine should come out, by the way. Mm. And there's some amazing pictures of him in an old Liverpool kit, which is amazing. Check out the socials that Ross has been doing on them. But again, we don't know when this will come up, but the message is the same from Mo Salah. Like, they know what I want, I'm happy to stay. It's up to them if they want to give me it. If they don't, then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, he's been doing that throughout, hasn't he? He's been putting it very much in the club's hands, and more specifically FSG's hands. And Sam obviously mentions the fractions in the fan base already. And we are almost reaching a tipping point with this. Whichever way this Salah contract situation goes, could see those fractions become even wider. But if the club get it done and they reach an amicable agreement, then it could reunite a lot of things. I think that's obviously the way we all want it to go. But it's tricky, and Salah is being very clever and almost a little bit, I suppose, quite coy with how he keeps saying, I'm happy to stay, I want to stay. He's definitely playing to the gallery in terms of that's what we want to hear, but he does keep saying it's up to the club now, and we don't know what he's asking for, obviously. It could be crazy. It's probably crazy to us, there's no doubt about that. But compared to other top earners in the Premier League, it's probably similar, so I would just give him it.
We've heard nothing, have we, Sam, from Liverpool's end on this? Like, usually a journalist might get wind of a story, Liverpool might leak something out, he's actually asking for this, he's asking for that. All we heard was, there was a rumour ages ago, he was asking for like 500 grand or 400 grand, and it came out like, he's not asking for that. But again, that might have came from his side, we don't know. Liverpool are not doing anything with this, it's all coming from the Salah camp, which is interesting in itself.
Yeah, and we know Liverpool work, we don't know what he's asking for, we know Liverpool work on a basis of, if you play really well, mate, you get paid well. And I think that's probably where, not necessarily Salah, where his agent is kicking in. They want guaranteed money. And you know, it's the capitalist world we live in. And that'll probably be where it is. It's that how do you get the money bit, isn't it? I know Chelsea do a lot of this as well. United do a little bit of it. But, you know, it's a tricky one. I really want Salah to stay. but at the same time, I'm a Liverpool Football Club fan, and if he's trying to hold our club to ransom, I'm also completely backing the club that if he wants 500 grand a week flat, he can do one. That's just my views on it, and I'll say that publicly. Like, I support Liverpool FC, and in 10 years' time, I'll remember Salah as the legend he is, but I'll always support Liverpool, so I've got that balance in my mind.
Yeah, we'll see how it all pans out. There's tons of this to come. Again, what I'll do, I'll mention this to Neil Jones on JNO Insights next time, so I'll get a bit more in-depth of the view. Obviously, this has only just broke literally about 10 minutes before we were going live, and we had our own issues of getting in here as well, so we didn't have a chance to digest it properly, but there'll be more on that to come, I'm sure. In fact, it's not going anywhere. The Salah conversation is not going anywhere until he either signs or leaves. So, speaking of someone who might leave then, transition nicely there by me, I'm gonna pat myself on the back for that one. It's Nat Phillips then, who'd gone back to that article from Sky Sports before, Dan. It says, Phillips has attracted plenty of interest this month with Serie A clubs contacting Liverpool over his availability. Obviously, he's injured with the cheekbone. It goes on to that. It says, Liverpool have already rejected a £7 million bid from unnamed Premier League side. But if Liverpool receive an acceptable offer, which is believed to be in the region of about £15 million, then Liverpool will be happy to let him go. Mm-hmm. As it stands, then, he's the fifth choice centre-half now. We know when he's coming last season, he performed very well, but he's nowhere near getting a game, really. He's getting games, didn't he, in League Cup ties. He played in the Milan game with his Cruyff team, which was amazing, but again, it was essentially a dead rubber. Mm-hmm. It would take a lot for Nat Phillips to get in the team, and a lot of bad things would probably have had to happen, unfortunately. Is this one that you feel is more realistic, that if someone stumps up the money, you could see him leave this month?
For me, yeah. This is a bit more cut and dried than Nico Williams' situation, because we do have four centre-backs ahead of Nat Phillips, and Nat Phillips was outstanding last season. It's no surprise to see Serie A clubs in for him after what he did in Italy recently. That's an absolute no-brainer for me. But I think it's a similar situation to Williams, in as much as that he is a Premier League footballer right now, in waiting, in my opinion. He's done it. You know, he did it the back half of last season for us, and he's done it in the Champions League when he stepped into the breach. He's not a top four Premier League footballer, and he's not probably a Liverpool Premier League footballer, if we're going to be completely honest with everyone, in terms of first choice anyway. I think if the right money did come in with 15 million, I think the club and Phillips should shake hands and wish everyone the best, and on we go.
Liverpool protect themselves by giving him that new contract. They've already given him a bit more money to sign on for a few more months or whatever, Sam. So he's been earning an extra bit of wedge over the last 6 months or whatever until he gets there. And what that's helped do is have Liverpool be able to hang out for these transfer fees that they were never going to get for him in a million years. £15 million is a significant amount of money, but you could easily see five or six Premier League teams going, you know what we could do with a lad who just heads everything, tackles everything, kicks everything, works his bollocks off. You could see a few teams thinking, we would quite like a bit of that, and you could see that happen really quickly.
And we all know in January what happens. We need goals, we need defenders. You know,
desperation.
Compared to the Nico thing, you don't really hear right backs very often in January. But it's like, you're spot on. It's a desperation time, centre-back up front. Yeah, I agree with everything you just said there, Dan. Like, it's inevitable. I personally am probably a learned lesson from when I sat here and said, Steve, we don't need a centre-back. Yeah, I was wrong, Steve. Sorry about that, a few years ago. I was wrong. So this summer, I felt it was a little bit different. I did feel as though we were probably all right after watching the pre-season, and I would have been all right with him going. And I think it would have been, hopefully it would have been all right. He only played in the San Siro because Gomez was like probably two days out from starting, wasn't he, with his injury that he had at the time. It's the right time for him. He's been amazing. He's a legend. We'll always love him. Is he the Bolton Baresi? You know,
cult hero.
Love it. What a story. Go on, lad, and smash it. And then he'll be on LFC TV with Neil Mello when he's in his 30s, 35, 40.
Like I say, that picture of him and Reece Williams, I love. That's going to be synonymous. Yeah. It sums up last season so well. Looking in the live chat here, then I've got Perry, who said, I would love to see him get a chance elsewhere and succeed, which I tend to agree with. There's another shout, and JP and Uktarash again both have said this one. If Liverpool are in the sell to buy market that we think they're in, is there any justification for you, Dan, just throwing this out there, of selling Joe Gomez?
I knew this was going to come.
Sell Joe Gomez for 40, 50 million, whatever you can get for Joe. Promote Nat Phillips to fourth choice, and then you've got an extra X amount to spend in the kitty for a transfer. Like, is that something that Liverpool could consider?
No, it's not, in my opinion. I don't think you'd get that sort of money for Joe Gomez as well right now, because I think I actually raised an eyebrow before when you said Phillips was fifth choice, and he probably is, but on form, there's an argument to say he's been better than Joe Gomez, because I think Gomez has really struggled. I think fair play to Phillips for waiting for everyone to come back from injury, and I think Klopp alluded to something similar recently. But for me, that Gomez and Phillips situation, what I've seen this season, that's really touch and go. But this football club and Jurgen Klopp, we mentioned how trusting he is of players and how much faith he puts in players. He's not going to turn his back on Joe Gomez just yet. And we should all remember, because I've seen a little bit of disparaging tweets and disparaging whatnot towards Joe Gomez, we'd all be wise to remember that he was the first choice alongside Van Dijk at one point, very much so.
Yeah, yeah. Until he got injured.
When we won the league, for instance. Yeah. So until he got injured, exactly. And I think he has struggled, there's no doubt about it. He struggled to recapture anywhere near that form. But in terms of which one you sell, it's still Matt Phillips.
But the flip side is, if there's a way to generate more dough for you to then get a better transfer in, Sam, for your fourth choice centre half, playing devil's advocate, like you get 15 for Nat, but you say you get 40 for Joe Gomez, £50 million, whatever. He's 24, England international, really highly thought of. Again, I take your point on the injuries as well, which definitely plays a part, but there's financial sense from if you're a businessman just taking numbers off on a ball, which Liverpool have got somewhere, the numbers make sense, kind of, I suppose, both the same age as well.
I think what happens though, let's say we sell Gomez, we keep Nat and we buy this Diaz kid we're looking at, or we go and buy, you know, Jared Bowen for 50 million in the summer, whatever it may be, we still end up with a situation though where if we're relying on Nat Phillips and Virgil van Dijk to play on the halfway line, as much as I love Nat, we had to adjust our whole style last year to incorporate them two in defence. He's not a Liverpool centre-half. He just can't turn and run and catch up with Vardy like Gomez can.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. Virgil nailed it on that little video we did with him and Konate on Liverpool's socials. Yeah. Kai can't go on forever. They're both 30 and 30, aren't they? John Matip and Virgil. Mm-hmm. And the two kids are 22 and 24. That's the future right there. I just think Nat's not quick enough. So you sell Nat all day.
But then the flip side, you can definitely see Dan, you can see Newcastle coming in. You could see, and already one club's come in with seven. Like, what do you think of that £15 million asking price? Then do you think that's a fair price? Do you think Liverpool will be lucky to get that? Maybe meet in the middle somewhere. What are your thoughts? Because we are good sellers. We get lots of money for our players when we sell them.
Yeah, I think we'd be lucky to get that, if I'm brutally honest. And that's only because we all love him to pieces with what we've seen over the last few months, and like I say, particularly the back half of last season. But prior to that, he was playing Bundesliga 2 for Stuttgart and wasn't really pulling up trees out there. Obviously, came back and played in that derby for us in the cup, and we thought, okay, he did all right. Then he disappears again. So we all love him to pieces. So we think 15 million is about right. I think, like you touched upon there, we'd have to be good sellers to get 15 million. I would put that in a similar sort of bracket to the 19 million for Dom Solanke. Yeah. I think it'd be similar, and no disrespect to Phillips, I've got to say that time and time again, but I think getting 15 for him will be similar to that deal.
Hey, by the way, Solanke's starting to prove that wasn't the worst deal in the world, by the way.
Yeah.
He's on like 19, 20.
At a different level, of course. But
he's doing his job.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But Phillips, you could easily say a situation where we go 11 million up front and 4 million in add-ons if we stay up, and if we stay up next year. Like, that, it's easily doable, isn't it? You know, when you do that top-end figure.
Yeah, just absolutely, mate, absolutely. Going back to the point we made there, but remember Si Hughes' article, what Liverpool might potentially get an investigator. I'm going to bring something up on the screen now from Standard Sport, who say the EFL would not investigate Liverpool after the postponement of their game against Arsenal was put down to false COVID positives. Clubs around the league were reportedly unhappy with the Reds being granted the postponement, but there's no investigation. It won't even be looked at. Liverpool, If it was a blag, it was the best blag of all time. My guess is it wasn't, but at least there's one less thing to have to worry about, Sam. We're not going to have the authorities breathing down our neck again.
It was sensible, wasn't it? It was good journalism, to be fair, you know, on point, on the right timing. But yeah, I just see now all the piss boiling, flowing down.
Well, I'm not gonna bring them up on screen. But if you scroll down on that tweet, there's a lot of piss being boiled down, as you can imagine. Yeah. This is not. There's a lot of people with AFC in their usernames there who are not happy with this one. Liverpool have a sensible decision. There's no way Liverpool just. I mean, again, it's just conspiracy theory. There's no way. It just makes me laugh. It's hilarious.
Yeah, Martinelli 123 won't be happy on Twitter. But the untouchables, isn't it? That's all you've got to say to that. Like, come get near us. But no, it's common sense, like you say. We've seen this sort of thing time and time again. You brought up the rugby situation before. That's just the world we're living in now. These things happen. And I agree with Sam in terms of, I think Klopp was a little bit too honest, if I'm honest, because I think it would have been best left unsaid. But yeah, all done now, and we can crack on.
No, I tend to agree. So yeah, good news. We've got off with a scot-free. Our cunning ruse.
Those pesky kids.
Yeah, we've got away with it as well. That's what I was thinking. Dan, thanks very much for coming in. Sam, thank you very much as well. Keep an eye out on the YouTube channel, guys, because Sam's tagging out Jay Pearson. I think he's going to be tagging him. That's the plan anyway, to do a build-up show for the Arsenal game. So yeah, keep an eye out on the channel for that. If you want more Red Men Gunners in your life, like I said earlier, do go on over to redmentv.com. Check out Red Men Plus. There's tons of stuff on there that is great already. Chris's chat last week with Cy Brundish, all about strength and conditioning. I learned a lot from it. It was really, yes, really good. We've got more stat shows coming this week. We've got absolutely tons. Transfers, news, everything you need about Liverpool, we've got you covered over there. So do consider checking that out. Like I say, until then, though, I will see you all soon. Ta-da.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.